chapter 5, I want to share a word that I have been dealing with and reflecting on for the last several days, since Wednesday night particularly. Told you in the past that the Lord has given me three words of focus. Those words are worship, warrior, and word. We spent 6 weeks or so talking about worship, and we'll come back to that sometime next year. And I don't necessarily know that the Lord is moving us into the warrior message or the spiritual warfare message, but this message could be attached to that concept and that thought. It just wasn't prepared months ago for that. And the word I want to speak this morning quickly is behavior leading to breakthrough. Stand here this morning and I've never stood in or approached a lectern or a people feeling as I feel today. Now the big difference is I'm okay. That's not the question now. Question is, are you okay? Are those at home okay? I'm going to ask my wife to help me if she's never helped me before, because in all honesty, I'm trying to make sure I avoid speaking out of frustration. But I also know the Holy Spirit's getting a little frustrated. Wednesday night, we gathered, those of us that gathered in prayer. It's one of the most serious prayer times I've been in a long time. While praying, I said this out loud. I was up here. And I said, Lord, you called us breakthrough. It's where the name came from. It wasn't my name. It wasn't my wife's name. Although it was given to her by the Spirit of God many years ago. But it was what God wanted to call us. And I said, you called us this. And you called us to be this. And then I said very quickly, now make us that. The Lord stopped me very quickly when I said that and said, I will make that whoever wants to be that. But I can tell you this, it's not going to happen with the way a lot of us are practicing our spiritual stance with God today. Just believe me. 2 Samuel chapter 5, I want to read from verse 17 to 25. It says, but when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. David heard of it. David went down to the hole, which means a stronghold. Where he's going is to a city called Jebus. We'll get to it in a minute. Verse 18, the Philistines also came. They spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Watch what happens. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will definitely, doubtless, deliver the Philistines into your hand. Watch this verse. David came to Baal Perazim. And David smote them. He beat them there. David said, The Lord has what? Broken forth upon my enemies as the breach of waters. In other words, it said that the Lord came against David's enemy like a flood. We get to that. Therefore, the end of verse 20, he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. In other words, this was their false gods. And the Philistines came up yet again. Once again, they spread themselves in the valley of Ephraim. And look at verse 23. And when David inquired of the Lord said, you shall not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be that when you hear the sound of a going in the top of the mulberry trees, that then you shall stir yourself up. For then shall the Lord go before you to defeat the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord commanded him. And he defeated the Philistines from Gibeah until they come to Gezer. Now, just very quickly, I want to say this so we understand something. The Philistines here was a particular sect of Philistines. They were people that were known by the name of Jebusites. They lived in a city called Jebus. Now, I couldn't even type an outline. And I'm praying that this will not get scattered and be timely. But a couple of things I just typed for my remembrance. And I want to just say them quickly to get into this, is this. The other night, as Wednesday night, actually, as I laid in my bed dealing with my frustration, dealing with me, wondering about certain things, I began thinking, praying, meditating throughout the whole night. And I started remembering some things the Lord had said to me in the past that he reminded me of for this present. In September 2004, the Lord spoke to my spirit and he said, Michael, prepare yourself for a divine reversal, one that no man and no demon can stop. I believe God has a word for us today also. For any one of us who's willing to hear it, receive it, and live on it. Here's the word. God's speaking to you right now. Here's your word. I will reverse, and I will restore your life to wholeness and completeness. Now, to shorten a long statement, for this word to be experienced, it will require three quick things. One, extreme sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. This is something that's fleeing in the church today. Lord, help me. How do I know that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit is fleeing today, look around. Look at the church. Why are some of us where we're at and not where God told us to be? Did we ask the Lord what we should do? Not just today, I'm talking every day. See, warfare, spiritual warfare. Are you familiar with the verse of scripture that says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing? Anybody know how it ends? In the heavenly places. Where is that? What is the heavenly places? And he says it again in the later in the book of Ephesians, that we war in the heavenly places. Where is that? Let me tell you this. Both cases, and we'll get into it in a couple months. Those cases, the heavenly places spoken of, are a reference to the invisible realm. That's as deep as it gets. It's not the realm we walk in the natural. But yet, most of what we do is done through the natural. Because much of what people are doing, the Spirit wouldn't tell them to do that. So sensitivity to the Spirit is greatly needed to experience this reversal and wholeness. Not just sensitivity, but a serious study of the Word will be needed. Because, saints, this Word is what gets us through. And thirdly, I said three things. We need sincere times of prayer daily, together, alone, sincere times of prayer. I tell you, just a quick, brief study of church history, and you will find that throughout our church, well, the church history, every time God moved, whether it was revival, renewal, or spiritual awakenings, it was always done on the heels of the church gathering and being committed to prayer. I'm not going to go through history. If you know church history, you know what I'm talking about. Not a move of God. And something else that always followed on the heels of prayer was the fact that God would release and we would receive the ability to once again experience the anointing of the Spirit of God. And more importantly, function in the anointing. Zechariah chapter 4, God spoke and said this to Zerubbabel. He said to Zechariah. Zechariah said, as he talked, he said, "So the Lord answered me. And this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by strength, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." You read in the verse 8 and 9, and it says that the Lord spoke again, and here's what he said. "Then the word of the Lord came to me." And here's what he said. "Zerubbabel's hands have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it." I can't teach you the history of that. But to tell you this is what the message means. The work God called us to do. He tells us that through the anointing of the Holy Ghost, we will do it. But it won't be us. Naturally, we're going to come up with, let me tell you, the Spirit of God's going to start releasing things in the church that's just going to mesmerize the minds of men and women. As God does, as he told Jeremiah, call unto me, I will answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things you don't know. Oh, God. Help me, Lord. God speaks and he says, don't be anxious. My God, if we took anxiety out of some of our lives, we wouldn't have nothing left. Don't be overly anxious. But in everything, he said, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request, which means to deposit what you're saying into God's hands. Let your request be made known unto God. And what happens? Anybody know what happens? You all know the verse. And the God, I'm sorry, I said it wrong. And the peace of God, which goes beyond human comprehension, will come upon you. Why? Because no anxiety. I'm coming before the Lord. The Lord told us, ask anything in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified. In John 14, he said, ask anything in, I'm sorry, John 16, he said, ask anything in my name, I will do it, that your joy might be full. I don't care what you can try to talk to me all you want. Joy is missing in the church today. And it's missing listen, I'm going to say this and I'm going to do my best to avoid anything else. The word tells us that the joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. What is the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord, we see it over in Hebrews, we see it through his whole life. The joy of the Lord was the fact that he fulfilled God's purpose and God's will for his life. He lived life the way God wanted him to live it. That was the joy of the Lord. That was his strength. Now we can sing it, say it all day long. But if our lives are not being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, if we're not being guided and directed by the Word, we're not doing what he wants. I'm sorry. Oh, we're at 19 minutes. I got about 11 minutes left. Good. I want to go over here to 2 Samuel. I want to get into this. I want to just dissect this very quickly with you. What's happening, if you look early in verse 6 and read from there down, you see the fullness of what's going on. But just to help you out very quickly, what's happening here is David has just been made king of Israel. And he has made a plan to go over to the city of Jebus and take it. In order to take it, He has to defeat the Jebusites. There's a problem with that. Does anybody know what the problem is? Israel had never once defeated the Jebusites. Go back to the days of Joshua when they came against the Jebusites. They couldn't beat them. Never did. So look what the Jebusites say. Let me find it. Yeah, verse 6. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which David spoke, saying, except you take away the blind and the lame, you shall not come into my in this house, thinking that David couldn't come in. Now, a statement comes up where it says that David hated the lame and the blind. It's a bad choice of words. But here's what happened. Because the Jebusites never had been defeated by the Israelites earlier in it, they come out and said, bring your army. Come on up. And here's what they told them. Even the blind, our lame, will defeat you. We don't even need to use our trained military might. We'll use our blind. We'll use the cripples. And we'll defeat you. Now, you hear these words? It was about 1048 B.C. And David hears these words. Come up here. Come on over here. We're going to destroy you. I'm going to change some words so you know where this is going. Come on out here and face me. I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds. That's what they were saying. Anybody know the significance of that? 15 years before this, David heard these same voices. A man by the name of Goliath stood before Israel and said, send them out. Send somebody. I'll kill him. I'll kill anybody you bring out here. Now, 15 years later, these same voices are coming back. Listen, saints, the powers of darkness never give up. What they told you 15 years ago, just because you walked away with a victory then doesn't mean they're not coming back. I have tried and tried and tried to instill in you the thought about the comeback spirit. It exists, it's genuine, and all of us have experienced it. That's why I wanted to go back to that song. That song so much spoke to this whole thought and saved me a whole lot of time. But now the voice comes back. David wants the city. Anybody know why? He's going to change the name of it. He's going to call it the City of David. Anybody know what the name of it is? Jerusalem. When David become king, he said, I'm going up there and take what's mine. Yeah, the enemy's been sitting there for 500 years. Yes, we've never beat them before. But we're going to try something a little different this time. And that's what I want to touch on with my last 6 or 7 minutes. And that is three actions. We're not actions. Three decisions David made that led him to behavior that led to a breakthrough. Now, let me tell you this. Breakthrough. The word baal-perazim, look it up. It means breakthrough. If you have a little outlines in your Bibles and stuff on the side notes, some of your notes have a reference to that. A breakthrough, like a breach of water. The master of breakthrough. This is what it all means. But let me tell you this very quickly. The word breakthrough. Listen, this is what God called us. I didn't call us this. God said it. I don't know how many families in the church we lost the night we decided to accept it. We lost a lot of people. Because God said, this is what I want you to be. This is what I want you to call yourself. And this is what the word means. Look it up. It means to break in, break up, break down, break out, break through, and my favorite, break upon. Now remember, it deals with like a breach of water. That's what David said. It came like a flood. I looked at this under break upon, and here's what I received. It is like a reference. Any of you ever been hit by a wave in the water? No? Have a wave go over top of you. It wipes you out, don't it? If you've never been hit by one, go down and get hit by one. It's a trip. It turns you over and turns you under. Depending on how strong it is, it might bounce you off the ground. You might lose your ability to figure whether you're going up or down. It's just a turmoil, and it turns you and turns you and turns you. That's what God's breakthrough is. It just keeps turning us. It just keeps turning. And when the enemy comes, listen, Isaiah said it best. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will rise up a standard against it. And when the Spirit of the Lord rises up a standard against it, he's going to flood your enemy. Come upon it like a wave and just carry him out. Glory be to God. I'll share that later because I'm down. I got 3 minutes and 3 points. Actually, I got 5 minutes. Let's look just quickly. It don't take long to figure this out. What David did that led to being a breakthrough. I'm going to give them all to you at one time, and then you'll see. One, he inquired of the Lord. He prayed. Two, he did not presume on what the Lord wanted him to do. And I'll show you that in a minute. And thirdly, he followed God's directions completely. Now watch. What did he do? David inquired of the Lord. Asked the Lord, shall I go up against them? Will you defeat them? Will you be with me? Is this what you want me to do today? I want them. I'm not talking about breakthrough, but breakthrough's included because we're the church. I wonder how many people are absent from their churches today but they're not absent because they inquired of the Lord, is this what you want me to do? And he said, yes. I'm not attacking nobody. It's time to wake up. I'm tired of going through the motions that when we all get together, we have all this spirituality going on, and we have all this speaking in tongues. I love speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues on a regular basis. But we have all this stuff going on, but as soon as we walk out the door, then it's back to doing things the way we want to do them. Church, we can't do this. and be a part of this move of God today. David said, Father, should I go up against them? He didn't stop and say, God, I never beat them before. Is there not another way? Now, David had his eyes on the prize, and he said, should I go? God said, go. I'm with you. And they beat him. But guess what happened? They came back. Now, it's been my observation that many in the church today have this practice, and actually it's been as long as I've been in the church, I've seen it, this practice of asking God for something or asking God to do something, nothing wrong with any of this, and he does it. Then a week later, something comes against them, but they don't ask God about it. They just assume, well, this is what he said to do last week. So this must be what I do today. And then a month later, the same situation comes, and they don't ask God about it. They just say, well, God, this is what you told me to do the first time. So I guess this is how I do it every time. You guys ever seen this practice? We used to call it putting God in a box. I was in a church one time years ago. Gave an altar call. I was an evangelist. We gave an altar call for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This person came to the front, and I mean, before somebody could lay hands on them, they knelt, and boom, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence. I never forget. This older gentleman was standing about in the middle of the church that we was in. He had been in the church about 40 years. He had been praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for 40 years. And he stood there that night and said, I don't accept this. That's fake. And I didn't know what was going on, so I said, why? No way. That person came in here and got filled with the Holy Ghost. They just got saved last week. And I said, so what's the problem? I've been saved for 40 years. I prayed for the Holy Ghost for 40 years. And I still ain't got it. God doesn't do this. And I told him, you need to meet my mother-in-law. She got saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost in one night. He had God in the box and said, God's got to do it this way. I gave you this, so I give it to you very quickly. I got 2 minutes. Man came to church one night. He was against what we were doing. He was against Pentecost. Okay? But he came because he told a friend he would come. He got excited in the service. And so I gave an altar call for various issues. One including, if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He came. And he got up to this about here in the church. And he was on his knees, and he was serious. He was crying. He was praying. I mean, all kinds of stuff. And somehow, he crawled up on the platform. And somehow, he made his way to the drums that were being played in that church. And they were being played loud. And somehow, he managed. He wasn't here. None of this was here. He managed to crawl into the bass drum. I felt so sorry for him. And that drummer didn't slow down. He was banged. When it was all done, the man came out of the drum, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Next night, he brought his wife to church. He said, you need to get what I got. This is something. She said, okay. Altar call came. She came. She didn't have a choice. He grabbed and just dragged her. Got up to the front. There we were. We was praying. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes went on. Nothing happening. But we were praying. And the husband was behind her and he said, wait a minute. He grabbed her and stood her up. Said, you're not doing it right. And she said, what? He said, here's what you got to do. I'm telling the truth. He dragged her up the platform and threw in the bass drum. Because he was thinking, that's how God does it. If God doesn't do it that way, he didn't do it. If he doesn't bless you like he blessed me, you wasn't blessed. David was blessed, and he didn't assume that God wanted him to do the same thing the same way. So he asked the Lord, should I do it again? And God said no. I got to stop. God, wonder this morning. When's the last time you asked the Lord for something? He said no, but you did it anyway. When's the last time you did what you did? Because when you did it the last time, God blessed you. So you figure, well, he blessed me that time, he's going to bless me again. David prayed and said, God, what do you want me to do? Then he prayed again. And said, God, lead me today. And he did exactly what God said to do. The way God said it. He defeated the Jebusites. He conquered the city. And to this day, remember, that was 1048 BC. To this day, that city still stands in Israel. And everybody, listen to me, you look at it, you watch it. All those nations around Israel that are fighting against them, they all want one thing, that city. That's all they want. Nothing else. They just want Jerusalem. Church, God's got something for us. I'll share next week. Ezekiel 37, 9 through 11. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 11 through 12. What God gave us in 2005, it's coming to be. The word God gave me in 2004, it's coming to be. The word he released this morning, it's going to happen. He's going to reverse things. He's going to restore you to wholeness, but you have got to receive it. We've got to get back to where he's God and we're following him, not him following us. Join with me in prayer. Father, thank you for your word this morning. I do pray that in some way, some area, we will be motivated on different levels. Lord, I know it's just a start. It's just a beginning. Father, I ask you would just send Lord, you know what we need individually. You know whether we have gotten to a place that we have fallen asleep in the spirit realm and we need spiritual awakenings. You know, Lord, if we've gotten to a place that we're dying out and we need a spiritual revival. And Lord, you know if some of us have just gotten old in our walk with you, we need spiritual renewal. Lord, help us to understand we cannot continue on in your name living our way Father, I pray that you would use this week to wake us up and that there will be a return to the sanctuary, a return to your house, that we can be trained together, equipped together, connect together with you with a new, fresh love, connect with each other, and then take what you give us and connect to the world, all in the love of Christ. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Yeshua's name. And now I pray that the grace and peace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ will rest upon each of us as we depart the sanctuary, but never your presence. Bring us back Wednesday at the next appointed time in Christ's name. Amen. I remind you, stay in the Word. It'll keep you from worry. And Sister T, I got it. I got this. And Sister